Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Continuing with the chapter on the command to safeguard the Faraz Salah and the severest prohibition and warning against abandoning them. Today's hadith, Al-Mu'adhin radiallahu anhu qal, Ba'athani Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ila al-Yaman, faqala innaka ta'ti qawman min ahli al-kitabi, fad'uhum ila shahadati an la ilaha illallah, wa anni Rasulullah, فإنهم أطاعوا لذلك فأعلمهم أن الله تعالى افترض عليهم خمس صلوات في كل يوم وليلة فإنهم أطاعوا لذلك فأعلمهم أن الله تعالى افترض عليهم صدقة تؤخذ من أغنيائهم فترد على فقرائهم فإنهم أطاعوا لذلك فإياك وكرائم أموالهم واتقي دعوة المظلوم فَإِنَّهُ لَيْسَ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَ اللَّهِ حِجَابٌ مُتَّفَقٌ عَلَيْهِ. Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent me as a governor to Yemen. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had sent Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu to govern over one part of Yemen. So on this occasion, he's relating this hadith that when Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam sent me as a governor of one part of Yemen, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given me some advices, parting advices. I'm now leaving Madinah Sharif, where I was with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's sending me off to Yemen. And at this point, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave me some advices. So these are the advices that he relates in this hadith. So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam advised me, saying that you're going to the people of the book. In other words, they were the people, the Jews and the Christians that were there at that time. Invite them to testify that there is none worthy of worship except Allah and that I am the messenger of Allah. So the first message that you need to give them is invite them to Islam. Invite them and to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, none worthy of worship except Allah. And I, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is the messenger of Allah. See how clear the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. No ambiguity. That you are going as a governor, a representative on my behalf, you are going to Yemen. And this is what you need to do. First is clear cut. Invite them to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very, very clear. No such thing as interfaith. No such thing as multi-faith. You all are right and we are right. And let's look at the common good that we all got. First message, that you invite them towards Islam. Invite them towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, deen is very clear. We are not apologetic about the fact that we are Muslims, you all are Christians, you all are Jews, and let's look for a common prayer place like what is happening now in Dubai. Coming up with a place where three religions can pray together. What we call it, Abrahamic religion. Allah ta'ala forgive us, protect us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so clear. O Mu'adh, you go there and you invite them and call them towards the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you call them and ask them to testify that I am the Rasul of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In other words, there's no accommodation of all different faiths and all. There's no such thing like that in Islam. So this is the first thing that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu. The second thing he told them, he says, if they accept this, in other words, if they accept this, that what you have told them, then inform them that Allah Ta'ala made 5 daily salahs compulsory on them. So here this hadith also showing us how important salah is, that after shahadat, after the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after bringing belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then inform them that 5 times daily salah is compulsory on them. If they accept this, then inform them that Allah Ta'ala had made zakah compulsory on them. So first was, as we seen in this hadith, that shahadat. Next was salah. Third was zakat. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to explain with regards to zakat. To inform them that Allah Ta'ala had made zakat compulsory on them, and it is to be taken from the rich and given to the poor. So the poor amongst them. So this zakat is to be taken from the rich and to be distributed amongst the poor. This is the fairness and the equity of Islam. It's not such that the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. That what we see happening in the Western countries and other countries, where people are being exploited, where the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. Islam is, the wealth is taken from the rich and distributed to the poor. So there is some type of equity in the society, some type of empowerment in the society. At least there is something there for the poor via the structure of Islam. So goes on, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam goes on to tell him that if they accept this, so in all conditions, if they accept this, then refrain from taking their precious wealth as zakat. And refrain from taking their precious wealth as zakat. What Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, in those days most of the wealth that was given for zakat was in the form of animals. So they had livestock. For example, they had sheep, they had camels, they had cows, etc. This was the livestock that they had. So the person that was collecting the zakat, he would go there and he will assess that this is how many animals you got. Based on the amount of animals you got, this is how much zakat you need to give. Or sometimes it would be crops. People had crops. He would assess how much of crops it was. And accordingly, he would take the crops and he would give it. So sometimes it would be the produce, in other words, from the crops. If it was dates, it would be the produce of the date palms, those khajur, how much of khajur there is, how much of dates there are, accordingly he would take. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on this occasion is telling Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, and this is a rule that is applicable in zakat, that don't go and take the precious wealth. In other words, don't only take the high quality things that are there and leave the things that are of poor quality. In other words, you're taking the best that the people have got and you're giving that. Take the average quality. In other words, you're not taking what is by them that is completely a poor quality and not taking the best. For example, you're not taking the best animals that they got there. You're not taking the best quality dates that they've got there. You're not taking the best quality. You're taking average. So it doesn't become difficult for the person giving his zakat also to give it. You haven't taken the best away from him. It should never be such that because of your actions, a man dislikes giving zakat. A man dislikes the laws of Islam because of the way you are taxing him. It should never be that. When you go, they take the average. So the person whose farm it is, the person whose crops it is, the person whose animals it is, he's comfortable to give it. He understands that the best that I've got is still with me. He doesn't feel it difficult. This was the kindness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, teaching us fairness in everything, even in giving zakat, in discharging zakat. Give the average. Don't give the very poor. Sometimes you find a person can't sell any goods. There's no market for it or for those goods. And he wants to give that in zakat. Why? Because there's no market for it. There's nobody that's interested in it. That should never be. We should at least give the good or at least the average when we are giving it from our side. Don't ever give things that have got no market, no interest people have. So, okay, let me just give this away in zakat. That is not the policy, that's not the spirit that a Muslim has. So this is this part of the hadith. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam giving Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu that refrain from taking their precious wealth as zakat. And then the last part of this hadith also, which very, very important, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Hazrat Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, beware of the dua of the oppressed person. Beware of the supplication of the oppressed person, for there is no barrier between the dua of the oppressed person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In other words, Allah ta'ala accepts the du'as of the oppressed. Be very careful. You don't oppress anybody. If he makes bad du'a against you because of the zulam that you are doing to him, then between that du'a, that bad du'a of this oppressed person and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no hijab, there's no barrier. In other words, it's accepted readily in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of making amal. Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi has brought this hadith before. He's brought it again here in this chapter to show us how important salat is. In this parting advices that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is giving Hazrat Mu'adh, he included salat, informed these people about the importance of salah. So may Allah ta'ala make it such that salah is part and parcel of our life. It's not even something that we have to think about. It must just be part of our life, routine, and nothing should come in the way between us and our salah, inshallah. Subhanallah bihamdi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, walhamdulillah.